This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information. It's time for a community interview on MPR.
This morning I am joined by Jake Baxendale from the band The Jack. Good morning, Jake. How's it going?
Kia ora, it's great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, the Jack, if people are not familiar with them, are how many piece? Like, quite large jazz band.
Yes, 8-piece jazz band, an octet.
Yeah. Coming to the Globe Theatre on Friday the 10th of October. So that's
11th.
Sorry, Friday the 11th. You said that before I hit record, and then I got it wrong. all good. Now, I guess the first thing to say is, like, 8 pieces is, like, that's a significant number of moving parts to organise. But you're touring, like, an anniversary of an album, which is quite exciting.
Yeah. The Jack has been around for a reasonably long time now. Our first album, Nerve, which came out on the Rattle Jazz label, an Auckland-based label, was released in 2014. I think we recorded it in 2012 even. And so, it seemed like, I guess, like with all things, as you get older, weddings, funerals, birthdays, these sorts of things become occasions to, gather the folk up and catch up and see where everyone's at. So a 10-year anniversary of an album release seemed like a great opportunity to gather the mates together and play some music and revisit some old material as well, because we've been doing a lot of different playing over the years, and it'll be fun to play some of the stuff from Nerve again.
Yeah. I mean, like, in New Zealand, because it's not a very big country, people often play in lots of different formats and lots of settings. And my impression is, I'm not really part of that world, but my impression is that kind of goes double or even triple for jazz, right? Like, if you're an active jazz player, you tend to play in lots of different projects and combinations rather than just being the one band the whole time.
That's right. It's different for different people, but I think if you want to be, making a living, mostly from playing, tends to be, and you want to be based in New Zealand, tends to be that you'll play in a lot of different ensembles, and they won't all necessarily be jazz ensembles. A lot of the jazz ones, I find that you pick up, it's a group that comes together just for a gig, and then you'll never have quite that same combination of players and repertoire again. That can be one of the best things about it, and sometimes it's one of the most frustrating as well, because it's hard to get something happening with people that you only play these tunes with these people one time, and you think, oh man, if we had another few more gigs this could really cook, but it never seems to work out that way, which is one of the exciting things about having a band together for over 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm not remotely a jazz player. I have nowhere near that level of skill, but I do play in bands, and there is something to that sort of telepathy that you get from playing with the same people for an extended period, so that you can start to kind of make decisions and kind of guess where the other people are going to go and make complementary decisions and all that kind of stuff. And really, there's no substitute for time with that kind of thing.
No, I think that's right. I suppose one of the great things about jazz is that it's a music that is about listening, and it's about interaction, because not all of the parameters are set. There's improvisation, there's just interpretation and so on. There's a lot of that goes on. And so, good jazz players' ears are always open to opportunities. And I think, like you say, that idea of the telepathy, listening just gets a little bit easier the more that you play with people, I think, because you know more and more what to listen to the better you know another musician. And And I suppose, the flip side of that is that you also know what might surprise people. If you know that they think they know what to expect. So this is also a fun aspect, is to see, you know, how can I do it differently after we've been playing this same tune or with this same band for 10 years? How can we still create that element of surprise? That's a fun challenge too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with bands that know each other well, you do see those moments where someone just suddenly gets a grin or something because someone's pulled something out that they didn't expect that was really neat, you know?
Like I said, this is all music like this. All stage shows have this element of the high wire element, but with jazz especially, so there's so much opportunity for freshness within that, which is great.
Now, I mean, as I mentioned at the start, like the Jack is an 8-piece band. That's like I've seen a theory which is like the tipping point in terms of number of musicians is like 6. That's the point at which bands become like seriously difficult to manage just in terms of like competing schedules, if nothing else. Like, how is it to try and put together a tour with that many people? That's you know.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We didn't manage to get a hometown gig happening, even though we all live in Wellington. So, if that gives you an indication. It can be a challenge, you know. I'm grateful that at the moment the players that we have are all Wellington based, because in the past we had ex-members, you know, I mean, they're always part of the family, but I'm not in a position right now where I'm having to bring in our trumpet player from Montreal or our piano player from Melbourne to make the gigs work, which I'm grateful for. So, you know, could be worse.
No, absolutely. Because, I mean, as I say, New Zealand is a small country. So often if people do start to play at a particular level, then they do, you know, vanish overseas.
That's quite typical.
You mentioned the original album Nerve, which was the debut album from the Jack, came out 10 years ago. Can I ask what the genesis of that was? Like, was the band brought together for that specific album, or were you playing together already and wanting to document things? Like, where did that come from?
Definitely the latter. We'd been working on music for some time. I'm not sure exactly when the earliest iteration of the band formed, but I think it was around 2010. And at that time we didn't have original tunes. We were working on arrangements and compositions from this group called the San Francisco Jazz Collective, which is a sort of super group that came up around the mid 2000s. And we discovered their music and we were really interested in it. Some of the really most exciting players of that time, like Miguel Zenon, an alto player who I love, were just starting to make their mark at that time. And it was easy to get hold of their music as well. You know, these people weren't super famous yet, so sometimes we would just ask them to send us the scores and they'd turn up in our inboxes, which was amazing. So we were working out all of this music for this sort of large ensemble, not a big band, but, you know, not a small group either. It felt unique at the time, given the kinds of ensembles we were working at. This is when most of us were either at the New Zealand School of Music as students or teaching there as faculty. So we've been playing for a while, rehearsing these tunes, and you know, we had also been writing music as we got further into our degrees and, you know, we're composing for ourselves. The group seemed like a great opportunity and format to try and write for. And before you knew it, you know, we had a solid 45 minutes of music of our own that was ready to go. And this was when our original trumpet player, Lex Trent, was going over to Montreal first time, so we thought, well, before he goes, we better get something in the can. So I think it was just one evening at the auditorium at the university. And we got it down.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, another feature of jazz is that it does, in terms of recording approaches, really reward that, like, okay, guys, here we go. You know, everything all at once, minimal kind of worrying about overdubs or anything like that.
That's right. Yeah, no overdubs on that album whatsoever. Everything is a live take. The solos were all live. Not every album that we've made has followed that exact approach, but I would, you know, I would say, yeah, 95% of our music has been live in the studio.
So, I mean, you mentioned that it was sort of, you felt like what you were doing was kind of unique at the time compared to the other groups you were playing in. Is that partly about the size of the ensemble? Like, it does occur to me that, you know, the trade-off for the difficulty in managing that many people's schedules is that you do have a lot more sonic possibilities when you've got more players doing more things, right?
I think that's right. And I explored this later on with a series of gigs called the Arthur Street Loft Orchestra, which ran gigs on Monday nights for a few years at the now defunct Third Eye. And I think, yeah, it was exactly as you say, sonic possibilities. It was sort of being like, what's the smallest sort of ensemble with the widest possible range of colors that you can sort of fit in a jazz context. And I think at that time with the, you know, it's quite conventional, really, the instrumentation. You know, it's a couple of saxophones, a couple of brass instruments, then a full rhythm section of bass, drums, piano, and guitar. The San Francisco Jazz Collective utilized vibraphone, which is a cool sound, but we didn't have that available to us at the time. And I think now, I think more diverse colors. I mean, it's always been a thing. I think, you know, our listening has expanded and the kinds of colors that we hear in New Zealand jazz has expanded a lot since that time. But yeah, I think it felt ambitious at the time to us to put it together, but it also felt, it felt like it was possible, you know, that we could, that we had this, you know, broad palette and that we could get people together to try these tunes out and rehearse them and to challenge ourselves and to really spend time on the music. Yeah. And I like it a lot because, of, the number of pairings that's available to you is just, yeah, it's really wide. I think that's one of my favorite things is deciding, okay, who's going to play this melody? Who's going to play it with them? Am I going to do it in unison or octaves? Am I going to harmonize it? I'm going to do it with the horns. Am I going to add the guitar in there? Is the left hand of the piano going to go with the bass here? Should I put the trombone in there as well? Maybe that's a good range for the tenor saxophone. Oh, what if I put the tenor saxophone on soprano and put that on the top of the horn section? You know, there's, yeah. Huge possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some ways you're thinking like almost like an audio engineer as well, right? Like if you're mixing a big band, then you have to find a space. And I mean, just in terms of size, not necessarily like a big band. But if you're mixing like a large ensemble, you need to find a space for every voice and every instrument so that you can hear things in a way that's complementary. And with your composition, you're kind of doing that with the actual things that are going to be in the room.
Exactly right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're writing, you're thinking about that density and that spread and the range and so on, for sure. And I think that it's one that after a time you know, they didn't exactly write themselves, you know, but we got used to writing for this group, I think, over time. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to come back and play these older tunes and be like, how was I approaching this, you know, 10 or 12 years ago versus, how I would approach it now. And then what are the opportunities to mix that up as well? You know, for example, in the improvised sections, can I swap out this saxophone solo for something else or whatever? We haven't started rehearsing yet, so that's all.
Right. So this is all going to be wildly exciting stuff that's about to happen.
Yeah, it's all to be determined. Yes.
thank you very much for coming and talking today, Jake. I do hope that you get a good turnout on the 11th. Can I ask for a tune that you would like to finish off with, maybe from the album Nerve, so that we can give people a taste of what they can hear? And before you make that call, are there places that people can find both you and or the Jack on the internet if they want to, you know, catch up in advance, follow you around the internet and find out what you're doing these days, all of those kinds of things?
Yeah, absolutely. The-Jack, so THE-Jack, JAC.co.nz is our website. You can also look us up on Bandcamp, which is a great service for streaming and purchasing music.
Yes.
And all our albums can be found on the usual streaming platforms like Spotify as well. And you can find our first two albums on the Rattle catalog as well. So you can visit Rattle on their website or their Bandcamp page as well to find our music. And if you fancy having a listen to a bit of Nerve, then I've always thought that a couple of Callan Allardyce's tunes always stand out to me on that album, Major, Major, Major and New York Axelman, very mysteriously named. Compositions.
Excellent. Well, what I might
stories behind them, and you'll have to come to the gig to find out what they are.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, I might play Major, Major, Major because I'm a sucker for a Catch 22 joke, and I'm just going to assume that that's what it is. So we'll hear that
right
now.
On the money.
Thank you very much for talking, Jake. Just a final reminder: the Jack will be at the Globe Theatre right here in Palmerston North, Friday, October the 11th, 7 PM. You can get tickets via the Globe Theatre's website.
You've been listening to another community interview on NPR. Also available on demand at npr.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.